to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, you want to get engaged with the program, 251-343-0106. It'll come on the program about an hour from now. Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall will make a time for us, his weekly visit with us. That's in about an hour, so you want to stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, he is a candidate for U.S. Senate here in Alabama for the seat that Tommy Tuberville will be vacating when this term is up. And also, he is our Attorney General, sitting Attorney General. Steve Marshall is with us. General Marshall, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for coming on, making time for us. Do appreciate it. So I've shared it with the audience earlier. McLaughlin and Associates poll, it's y'all's poll, but you got to be pleased with the results. You're pulling in at 35%. There's still a lot of undecideds out there, but tell us what you think.
Yeah, it's still early, but very pleased with those initial results. I think it's a reflection of the work that I've done as Attorney General now for the last 8.5 years, and you know, we're already seeing that reflected in people's perception of us being able to go to the United States Senate. But look, there's a lot of work as a candidate that I've got to do. We'll be up and down the state talking with voters about the successes that we've had as Attorney General, how we've represented the principles and values of the people of Alabama, and how we want to be able to do that in a senator's chair, not just in the role that I played as Attorney General.
Well, what's interesting to me, and I mean, this is maybe isn't necessarily as true at a state level as it is federally, as you're seeing what's going on with Pam Bondi, but it's kind of remarkable your favorables, and you've been an attorney general, but you seem to be viewed at least favorably among these likely Republican primary voters.
Yeah, I mean, our favorable numbers have been very good. I think, you know, we had an 80% name ID rate with favorables hovering around 50% with very low unfavorables. And I think that's, a reflection of kind of what we've done as Attorney General. You know, the one thing that you can't do as AG is hide. You know, you have to take strong positions that establish not only the values and the principles of the people that you represent, but also for us as a ruby red state, the conservative values that we need to be advancing across our country. And so I think the folks in our state have seen that we've not been afraid to back down from a fight, that we've been willing to take on tough challenges, maybe when others haven't been willing to do it. And whether it's the victories that we've had around girls' sports and locker rooms, the work that we've done involving gender affirming care, the pushback against Biden overreach, I think that's been reflective of what this poll's showing. But again, you know, I think I have a vision for what we can do in the United States Senate, and that's what I'm looking forward to talking about over the next year.
Well, and you came on right after you announced earlier this summer your intentions to run for this seat. But now that you've had a little time to think about it, and you see what's going on in Washington, D.C., and you know, some of the things they're doing on Capitol Hill, you know, kind of elaborate on your vision for the being a United States senator.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things for me, Jeff. Number one is, you know, from a prosecutor to my core, that's kind of where I came from before I was AG, and folks sort of see the attorney general as the state's top cop. I think there's value in a prosecutor being in the United States Senate. If we look at, I mean, even most recently, some of the declassified information that's come from D.C. relating to what took place against President Trump during the first election, the efforts of Comey and others to suppress information that would have been truthful, but instead to provide a false narrative that could have impacted that election. We need somebody that's willing to dive into what the deep state's doing and to be able to expose those lies and find ways to hold people accountable that are doing that effort against the people of our country. And then beyond that, I want to make sure that we're finding ways to lighten the financial impact on not only Alabamians, but also people across our country. We've seen the inflation that took place at high levels during the Biden administration, the impact that I had on households across our country. We need to find ways to remove Washington from the mix, allow the market to be able to work and businesses to be able to produce affordable, good products for the people of our country that allow for, you know, the American dream to be spread across a wide variety of people in our country.
joined by Steve Marshall. He's a candidate for U.S. Senate and our Attorney General here on the program. So, and I've dubbed it Taco Tuesday, but last week, the Tuesday raids in Central Alabama by this task force, Gulf of America Task Force. Maybe we've always known that there's been a lot of illegal immigrant labor in this state. I mean, in any state, I suppose, but particularly in Alabama. When this showed up on your radar, and I'm sure they coordinated with you guys, but what was sort of your reaction now that the federal government's being very proactive here?
This is ICE doing its job. You know, I was at the border a couple of months ago and heard how ICE agents now feel like that they are able to do their jobs again. And look, we've seen the substantial reduction of those who are crossing our border illegally simply because ICE is being able to enforce the laws that are on our books. You know, it pushed back against the false narrative of the Biden administration that somehow or another we had to change the laws to be able to secure our borders. And now ICE agents are having to deal with the consequences of the Biden policies that allowed for so many to come into this country unlawfully. And look, it's not as if ICE is just showing up randomly at restaurants or at workplace sites to be able to remove people from this country. You know, they're acting on intelligence that's given far beyond just simply the presence of someone there that's illegal. And so when you see not only what's taking place in Alabama, but also look the tragedy that we saw in Los Angeles, when you have government officials that advocate for sanctuary cities and sanctuary states pushing back against federal law enforcement officers doing their job. You know, I think Coach Tuffel's words were right recently that ICE needs to be able to do their jobs, do it effectively, and they need to be able to push back on those that would try to commit violence for them or obstruct them in performing their lawful duties.
Well, and you know, the actions, you said it, it wasn't like they're just like, all right, we're going to go like target certain businesses or we're just going to target illegal labor. They're casting a net here, and it's if there's something very untoward going on in the way the labor was brought here or how they're being compensated or whatever mechanism they're using, you're getting swept up in it, you're part of it, and that seems to be the approach to me.
No, and I think that's consistent with what we've heard coming from D.C. Look, there are lawful mechanisms for individuals to come from outside this country to be able to work. The H-2A program on the agriculture side, for example, is just one way in which there can be the use of the laws of our country to provide labor where otherwise it's not being provided. But then we see outrageous numbers of individuals that have come across, many of which, by the way, are still subject to financial connections to the cartel for allowing them to get across our borders. They're here in ways that don't comply with our law. We have ICE for purposes of being able to enforce the immigration policy of our country. And if fortunate enough to be able to go to the Senate, we're going to make sure that we support the men and women who are simply doing their jobs.
Something else, and this one a little bit of an older story, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on enforcement of a new law, the new hemp law, and House Bill 445. And I mean, does your office have like a really good? Because I'm struggling with it personally, trying to understand the state of a legislature. Sometimes does make things very complicated, but enforcing the new hemp law and having like I don't know, sort of a plan in place to make sure the law's being upheld.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, the most recent actions that you heard from our office and other ALEA particularly and other law enforcement across the state wasn't really an enforcement of a new act. It was simply enforcing the laws that exist. What was being sold and marketed in those smoke shops was just marijuana. I mean, if you test those, they were far beyond what is the acceptable limit for a hemp product in our state. And truly was THC that is akin to marijuana. That's all we were doing was enforcing what are the existing laws on the books. I think what you've seen the legislature do is try to put borders around what can be the lawful sale of certain substances that if in fact testing within those lawful limits, how they can be marketed, what flavors can exist for them in the locations that are able to do it. You know, ALEA and local law enforcement will be prepared to enforce that law appropriately. We have to allow for businesses that are impacted by it to be able to comply with what the legislature has required. But we're going to continue to be vigilant and not allow for what some claim is the exception granted through the Farm Bill several years ago for lawful hemp products to instead be a ruse of being able to sell unlawful and illegal marijuana.
The governor's decision here not to go with the reappointment of Lee Gwatney, Hal Nash from Jackson County, and I will find out more about him. But it already looks like the board is maybe changing the parole guidelines to some degree. Number one, were you surprised by the new appointment? And do you expect any difference in policy here when it comes to the Board of Pardons and Paroles?
Yeah, first I want to say that Lee Gwatney was a remarkable leader. I think she served not only the victims of Alabama, but the people of Alabama remarkably well in being able to have public safety be the paramount concern for when she was making parole decisions. Now, I will say that the change in the guidelines has nothing to do with the change in the chairman. That was something that was dictated from the legislature itself, and so I know they have been complying collectively as a board with what that will look like. I know Hal Nash. He and I go back several years and look forward to having conversations with him about his view as a leader there. But look, it's no secret. We, along with DAs and sheriffs across the state, were vocal in our support for Lee Gwatney. And while the governor has the right to be able to make that decision, we were hoping that Lee would be able to stay in that role. But moving forward, we'll support Chairman Nash, look forward to being able to, as somebody that has been in law enforcement for a long time, to allow him to be able to place his stamp on the board. But I think he needs to look no further than the actions of Lee Gwatney's tenure to know what we believe should be the appropriate way to address parole decisions, and that's to allow for public safety to be the most significant concern in how they choose to vote on who's released and who stays in custody.
And just to kind of go back a little bit, I mean, the reason you had a Lee Gwatney and for a brief period you had Charlie Graddick, and there was problems there, right? And it was used as a sort of a release valve mechanism because of, it looked to me, and maybe this is just me reading into it, but we have an overcrowding problem in our prisons. And at times these paroles were being granted, not because of merit or something of that sort, but because they just needed a place to put people.
Yeah, Jeff, you remember this was, you know, instigated both the work that the governor and I did and meeting with the then existing parole board based on the murders committed by Jimmy O'Neill Spencer, who should never have been walking the streets. Killed a child and killed a woman that I knew from my time in Marshall County, as well as a next door neighbor that likewise had lost a brother to the crime of murder. And when Governor Ivany and I met with the board then, we had the board chairman look at us and say that when asked how you make decisions, they say, well, we look at the number of people in prison to determine who needs to get out. That's not their role and that's not their responsibility. I give great credit to Governor Ivany standing with us and being able to reform how the board did their job. And I think we put good perimeter or policies in place and parameters around the board that it didn't exist before. And then Lee was there to be able to shepherd that across. You know, I'm pleased to tell you, by the way, that Lee's coming to work at the AG's office again, and she'll do good work for victims across our state. But there was a reason why we changed, and Alabama is safer as a result of what's taking place.
Well, that's a little bit of news. What is her role going to be there in the AG's office?
She's going to be working, helping protect children and those that would harm kids and proliferate child pornography. Lee's been, you know, a remarkable prosecutor throughout her career, a powerful advocate for doing what's right. And the work that she does for kids particularly is a special passion. And so Lee's going to have a special role for us. But right now she's going to be able to help us specifically in dealing with some of the cases that we have on those that would harm children.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. So kind of jumping around everywhere. Alabama's paid homage or given nod to trying to eradicate, I guess, or DEI practices, discriminatory, you know, and, you know, we have a divisive concepts law. And you're looking at this, General Marshall, are you kind of satisfied with the progress that's being made in this state in eliminating some of this, at least as far as government goes?
Yeah, I think I'm pleased with progress that we've seen, not only in Alabama, but across our country. And that's one of the things that is AG that we've led the fight on, you know, whether it be ESG or DEI, which are somewhat related, to be able to expose that for the fraud that it is and the impact that it has, not only in the college setting, the what we're seeing taking place, who's hired and how they're hired and for why, but also among woke companies across our country that have now backed away very much from those former policies. But, you know, Jeff, the bureaucracy still exists, and it's why I kind of referring earlier to why a prosecutor in the role of federal government helps to kind of dive in. You know, we'll continue to be able to look at those that don't want to comply with that law or somehow or another wanting to make a name change to hide what it is that they were doing. But I think we've made progress and strides in Alabama, and I'm grateful for the efforts of the legislature to be able to establish that as the policy of our state.
General, last question. Folks want to find out more about your campaign now that you got it kind of up and going. Where can they look?
Steve Marshall for Alabama.com. We're also out there on Twitter, but we'll be across our state. Look to see people personally and let them share the stories, and also for me to be able to talk about the vision of what we're going to accomplish as the next United States Senator.
Good deal. We'll get you on again soon, I'm sure. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. That was Attorney General Steve Marshall. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.